If you drink wine, it's likely that most of it is fermented from the species Vitis vinifera, which includes varietals like Merlot, Chardonnay, and Cab Sav. That's because throughout much of history, Europe ruled winemaking, and Vitis vinifera is the species native to Europe. Of course, there are other grapes people are making wine from that you may not have heard of. One of these is an American grape with a uniquely American history that invites only those with the most pioneering of spirits to turn into wine. The Norton.
It was a breakthrough, and it began to fan out from Richmond, where Dr. Daniel Norton created it. The Norton's a hybrid. It's part European, part American. There's a part of it that is still not known. These are grapes that are no longer what's called extant, no longer in existence. But this was the first sustainable wine grape in America.
That's Todd Kleiman. He wrote The Wild Vine, a book all about the Norton grape. And in the book, he describes how the Norton came to be. It was not an easy process.
Americans had tried for 200 years to create something that would be good and be durable. And both of those things are important. A lot of the early literature that you read talks about some of these efforts, and sometimes the wine would be pretty good, but the grape wouldn't be able to survive. And then other times the wine from the grape would be terrible, and you'd read these great descriptions of a bouquet of wet dog. The first wines that were attempted in the Jamestown colony. The Virginia company that sent over those first groups of what would become the colonists were commanded to grow grapes. Every male head of household over the age of 20 was commanded to grow 20 acres of grapes. And the punishment was pretty stiff. The punishment was pain of death.
Regardless of these early and highly encouraged efforts, it wasn't until 1822 that Dr. Daniel Norton's grape was discovered and cataloged. Even then, the grape never really took off.
It's not that Prohibition killed off the Norton. There were other things that contributed. The Norton is a very difficult grape for winemaking. I mean, before Prohibition, Norton is really important in Missouri, but it's not a grape that winemakers in Missouri at the time think that they can rely upon. You know, there are some years where they just can't produce enough. Norton is tough in the vineyard, and it's difficult to work with in the cellar.
Any progress the grape had made was pretty much erased when Prohibition went into effect.
It survives in Prohibition because of bootleggers who like it, because it's kind of grapiness, and there's a potential there because it, you know, mixes with sugar and it can work quickly. But after people turn from it. California emerges. There are some Missourians who end up in California and try the Norton, but it's kind of forgotten by this point because, you know, they've moved on.
And today, few wine shops stock it. Some of those that I visited while planning this story had employees that had never even heard of Norton wine. That's how unusual it still is. Despite this history with little reward, some vineyards are growing the grape and their vintners making wine from it, including several in North Georgia.
I'm Eric Seifarth. I am the owner of Crane Creek Vineyards and also the winemaker here. I do have an assistant winemaker that works with me, but I am the winemaker here.
I visited Crane Creek Vineyards early on a Saturday morning. A native Atlantan, Eric is what he calls a second career winemaker. He spent 20 years in the Army before buying land for his winery in North Georgia. But it was because of his time spent serving in Italy that he grew to appreciate wine.
When I got to Italy, it was very easy for me to get sort of into the culture. And one of the most important parts of the culture that I thought of in terms of Italy was their wine.
Despite developing his taste for wine on European varietals, Eric mainly grows and makes wine from American and French-American hybrid grapes.
Over the years, it has transitioned into about one-third cut. One-third pure American variety, which of course includes Norton and Catawba. Then I have French-American hybrids. And those include both old 1860 hybrids or new hybrids that have just been developed recently by Cornell University mostly. And then the last third is Vitis vinifera, European varieties. And we grow.
And while he's clearly passionate about all sorts of wine grapes, it's easy to tell which one has stolen his heart.
Norton's an interesting grape, and it's got an incredible history here in the United States. But it is a grape that is either loved or hated by wine drinkers. And when I say loved, I mean incredibly loved or incredibly hated. What I love about Norton, it is a native son. There was a period of time where California, you know, were saying Zinfandel was their grape, and they really felt like it was from California. It was a hybrid that generated out of California. Its past was murky. But, of course, over time they realized it's Primitivo from Italy. There's no denying Norton is a Vitis arresto alia, which the East Coast, go through any woods, and 80% of the vines hanging over the trees are Vitis arresto alia. 99% of those will make a horrible wine. It just so happens one of them, Norton, makes a fantastic wine, and it just excites me. I mean, I think that's the core of regional winemaking, is growing a grape that's from your region and it makes a native grape or native wine. It's just really a neat thing.
But like Todd Kleiman mentioned earlier, Norton isn't the perfect wine grape by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, Norton is a highly tannic grape. When it comes out of the press after fermentation, if you took a glass of it and drank it, I sort of equate it a little bit to drinking a liquid railroad tie. It is just a really, really very, very harsh tannic wine. We oak it, and we'll oak it for at least 2.5 years, mostly 3 years. And I would say if there's some wineries that have attempted it and either are not being successful with it in wine sales or have given up on it, I think it's not being patient with it.
As the wine industry grows in North Georgia and the rest of the South, it seems like Norton could be making a resurgence. Eric says that he's noticed an increase in demand for and familiarity with the wine.
I think we're going to see more and more growers growing it because it is an interesting wine. It's a very unique wine. But will it become ubiquitous on the East Coast? I don't think so. I don't think it will become the grape for the East Coast, simply because of some of the challenges in the winemaking side of it. And, you know, you have to have a thick skin to be an East Coast winemaker between your brethren up in New York and California, Washington, Oregon, everything. You know, they're kind of looking. They're still saying, wine in Georgia? But I have thick skin. That's one thing my dad always said to me. Whenever you have a chance, work on the edge of the empire. And this is the edge of the empire in terms of winemaking.
It's impossible to say if Norton will be the wine that distinguishes our region from the others. One thing's for sure, though. If you're looking for something different from most of the wines you find in your neighborhood grocery store, look no further than Norton. For WABE, I'm Kevin Rinker.